Hey, hey, come catch this wave with the Fix Squad. The fix is in. I'm Mr. Soul. I'm tuning in. What you doing?
Got him. Look, real hip-hop revealed that it fits. Pure, you can feel it in the mix. Finally stop pushing the culture forward. This is it. Proceed at your own risk. Got him. Beats, bars, and life, giving them truth in it. Screaming revolution when only a few minutes. My sentiments exactly everything that we do clutch. Another reason to turn the volume up. Sheesh, know what we stand on. Solid ground where we land. Say it's no use, the culture was out of hand. But now out of reach, we gotta stick to the plan. Dark days for the sunshine. Any good news, I'm proof that it's living. Yeah, revolving the art, the shot go with it. Keep it a beast on the block, don't miss it. Welcome
to the city, stand up. James left, but the king still reigns here. No tears, no love lost, no rain here. Delivers, I promise, Santa reindeer. Love for the city still resides here. Fix for your ailment, faith that resides outside the lines. Detox your mind, cause it matters. Art outside the box, we paste better. The fix is in, and we rock a channel. We rock with them for what's deep within. Expose those who talk but don't live. Expose those who talk but don't live. Take offense. Judge by the fruit from the tree. But if the fruit tastes like the streets, and money is the fruit that they speak, so tell me whose face do they see? Repeat. Take offense. Judge by the fruit from the tree. But if the fruit tastes like the streets, and money is the fruit that they seek, so tell me whose face do they seek?
Welcome back, family. Welcome back. You're now tuned into The Fix, your source for faith-infused hip-hop, R&B, and poetry right here on Holy Culture Radio. It's your boy, DJ Focus, checking in.
And it's your girl, Dice Gamble, in the building, checking in. Wake up, y'all. Y'all know what time it is.
Thirsting for the Lord Thursday. The living water. You should want that living water, okay?
That's right. We should always be thirsty for the Lord, for sure. Every single day. So this is exciting.
Yeah, it's definitely
exciting. Go ahead. Run your script.
No, it's all.
The Lord has made. Come on.
I just want them to know this is the day.
This is my Bible.
That the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And yes, please, don't trust me. Trust your Bible. I tell people all the time, no, I'm pointing you back to Jesus. Because he's the only one that got me in pocket.
Oh, no, I know. It's so funny. We wore over here. My father's very Baptist. And so the whole Joe Osteen beef with him, you know, and like every time I say something sideways, he'll bring up, this is my Bible. I have what it says. And I'm like, leave me alone. The jabs, though. But we definitely need to be thirsting for the Lord Thursday. This is going to be a good one, though, Focus. I've been waiting to talk about this. I don't know if some people are actually hip to this. Hopefully they are, if they're on social media in any type of way. But sometimes we're kind of slow as a community to see what's happening in all over the world. So hopefully today it kind of opens some people's eyeballs up.
Mm-hmm. I hope so, too. So, yeah, real talk topic today. We're talking about robots, everything robots. Dice going to go in and she going to catch you up because you behind. So she going to catch you up on everything you need to know about robots. Whether you want to, whether you think it's going to happen or not, it's going to happen. So you need to prepare yourself. How does this affect us as believers? Yeah. How does this affect us as just regular citizens who are looking to work in the workplaces? Like, this is going to impact us. So, yes, let's hop into this robot conversation for our real talk topic. And when I tell you the spiritual detox is different today, it's different.
Very different.
We had the opportunity to sit down with one of the legends in the game, in the gospel game. Let's be very clear. He is a gospel recording artist, songwriter, producer. He's also a radio personality. And when I say he's been putting out quality music for every bit of the last 20 years, we will have the legendary James Fortune joining us today to talk about everything he has going on. He has a new track out with Monica right now that's tearing the charts up. So you definitely want to keep it locked for that exclusive spiritual detox because, he's going to talk about gospel culture. He's going to talk about church culture. He's going to dive into it. I think we keep dodging these hard conversations. So this one today. No. Not us. Dice. So you're right. No. A lot of people in the faith. No, you are absolutely right. Anybody listening to us know that we don't dodge them. And we don't care if you throw darts at us. Bless your life. Bless your life. Just stay where you at. Make sure you stay over there. Because you run up on us in these streets. Pray for us. Now, Yeah, yeah. Try Jesus. You know,
right,
not
right,
us.
Right, right,
yeah, because we ain't no track star. Well, Dice was a track star. I ain't no track star. So I know. Listen, listen. Pray for me. If you run up on me, I pump. You better listen. Do what you got to do. Because if I get a just a little bit of
just a little.
Promise, just, oh my, you better do what you got to do. And I don't want no smoke with nobody. I'm not telling nobody to do nothing.
I know.
But let's be very clear. Yeah, we not for it. I'm not for it. I'm trying to push peace and love. But once again. Try Jesus, not me, because I throw hands.
Right.
But no, seriously, we're looking forward to this conversation with our brother, James Fortune.
Yeah.
He's been a legend in the game. So, yeah, keep it locked for that exclusive spiritual detox. We got anything going in the news, Dice? Anything going, anything at all? Any updates on Jamie Foxx? Nothing at all?
No. Nah. Yeah. I mean, he's tweeting from the hospital. Listen, you got to rest. It's okay. I think there's a lot of pressure with superstars, and you already know all of our singers and rappers that, you know, come on here. There's a little bit of pressure, but we not letting go of Jamie Foxx. He's not going. We're not letting go. So Jamie, just hang on in there. We're still praying for you. I don't know if you guys were able to see the decision concerning Trump the other day.
I told y'all, he wasn't going to jail. Oh. No, I just, everybody was laughing at me, telling me, he going. I say, are y'all for real? And that's not to say I'm a Trump supporter, so don't give me no hate mail either. I have opinions about both parties, so I'm not really either left or right, to be very clear. If anybody ever asks and want to know where I stand, no, they work together. I keep telling y'all, our government officials work together. Parties don't really matter.
Yeah,
I think they do, but they really don't.
Yeah,
and that's my personal opinion.
Yeah, no. You're absolutely right. I mean, he was charged, I think like $5 million for a defamation case, and they were able to prove a few things concerning that. But I was a little disappointed. Not that I want anything bad to happen to him. I'm just like, we have to take, as women, when people do take advantage of you, we have to stand up. It doesn't matter their power. If there's somebody at McDonald's or if they're the president, you need to open your mouth and say something. You know, right is right, wrong is wrong. And that's all I'm trying to say. It's like, it don't matter, you know, but we do have to learn to kind of empower women and say, listen, you can go on and hold that secret as long as you want. It's going to eat you up. You know, so just go say what it is. It'll save the next young lady stress if you just go ahead and make your complaint then. And, you know, we got to shut things down. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
It's a win. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I agree. No, I agree with you. No. I'm not anybody who's been a victim of anything. No. Mm-hmm. I'm not justifying that what Trump did or any of these people that are doing these things to any of the women is cool. That's not what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I just knew he wasn't going to jail because it's not just him.
Right.
It's a whole ring of them doing it. Mm-hmm. And if he go to jail, we know one thing he going to do. He going to tell everybody.
Everybody's
story. Everybody. Oh, really? I'm going? Oh, so everybody's going. Line them up. So that's why I said he wasn't going to jail. Not because I don't know if he did it or not, but if he did it, he deserves to go to jail. But I just know how they are in cahoots with each other.
Absolutely.
And how they roll. So, yeah, listen, we'll keep up on that story. Let's make sure we keep up to date with what's going on with that. Listen, let's get into it. Of course, you know our mission is to expose the culture to positive but relevant music that keeps Jesus Christ at the center of the message. Listen, we got new Pastor Mike Jr. on the way. Shouts out to our sis in London. Let's get some Lynn Songo featuring Wande. Childlike CC, yes. Let's get some Linga the Boss. Right now, though, yeah, we got to keep playing it. Lecrae, Tasha Cobbs, Leonard, Your Power. Keep it locked. You tune into The Fix.
And The Fix is it.
Welcome back. You tune back into The Fix, your source of faith-infused hip-hop, R&B, and poetry right here on Sirius XM, Channel 154, Holy Culture Radio. And it's time for our spiritual detox. And listen, we got a special one for you guys today. Y'all know how we mix it up here. We know we play a lot of hip-hop. That's what we call to do because that's what we push. But let's be very clear. The gospel is where everything stems from. We all have grown up on gospel music. And I'm excited because the worship pastor we have on the line today, he took a style. And we call it faith infused. And I think he kind of infused gospel and hip-hop with his choir and everything he's been doing. You're talking about what? 25, 30 years now. Like he's been in the game a long period of time, but everybody knows his staple was with his choir, his group Fire, putting that staple of the hip hop and infusing it with the gospel and still giving it that worship feel that everybody has loved. So listen, without further ado, help me welcome in a super talented, like I say, worship pastor, author, speaker, encourager, artist, producer. He does it all. The legendary James Fortune. What's going on, bro?
Wow, man. Listen, first of all, thank you so much for having me, man. My brother, it's so good to be on here with you. So honored and humbled to spend this time with you. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I'm excited to be here, man. Excited about this conversation with you today.
Listen, I appreciate the opportunity. So, you know, we're coming out the back end of this pandemic. I always ask, you know, what did you learn from the pandemic? You know, the 2 years of just us being shut down. Like, what did God reveal to you personally?
Yeah, one of the things he revealed is that we're not in control of anything. You know, the moment that we think we got stuff under control, or the moment that we think we got it all figured out, any moment something can happen in our life and have us at the point to where, you know what, I'm just out here trusting God. You know, we have to be able to trust him, because we always realize that there's something greater than us that's really in control. And through this pandemic, something that I never saw coming, something I had never obviously been through in my life, but to see how it just really, really changed so much about worship and how we were able to worship and not being able to go to church. I never thought there'd be a time when we would have to be trying to create worship on Zoom and, you know, doing Zoom videos and can't, you know, be in person. But it really, really taught me a lot about being innovative and being able to not be stuck to a particular model, but being able to reach the masses in a number of different ways. It made us really stretch our creativity. So the pandemic, you know, taught me a lot, but one of the main things it taught me is that, listen, we trust in God, because we have no idea what else is going on that's beyond our control.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. Listen, you brought up something I want to ask you, you know, your thoughts and opinions. Absolutely. The church itself had to do something different with a lot of the churches who were not updated with the screens and the virtual content. But now, since we're coming out the back end of it, you have this debate. Has the church become too entertaining now, more than Bible teaching?
I wouldn't necessarily say it's become more entertaining as far as the church. I think, you know, first of all, entertainment is not I know we like to use it as a bad word. Entertainment just means to hold the attention of someone. So there is a form of entertainment, you know, in church and in ministry and in gospel music as well, because we do want to hold the attention span. But I think for me personally, no, I love the fact that we can evolve, you know, that we can have, you know, LED walls and we can have lights and we can have different ways to attract. All that is just, you know, it's just ways to attract people to the message of Jesus Christ. You know, it's not like we're doing it. I know you mean, oh, you're trying to be like the world. No, it's just, why can't we evolve? You know, why can't we express ourselves in different ways? As long as the message stays the same, the packaging can be different. Every gift doesn't have to be wrapped the same way, as long as what's inside and what's being given to people is the same.
Yes. Thanks for sharing that. You know, for somebody who may not know you, James, share just a little bit of your backstory, of your faith story, your journey. I know yours is unique. I know you're a PK and everything that goes with that. But I know it has to be something that, like, when was that first, like, you knew God was for real moment, like for yourself, not because your parents was giving it to you, your grandma was giving it to you.
Right. You know, there's been a lot. One, I think one of the most significant moments in my life as far as discovering, you know, more of God is, you know, when me and my family were homeless, when I was homeless and I was actually working in ministry, but I hadn't really went through a lot. You know, I hadn't really been through a lot of storms and struggles. At this time, I was probably about, 24, 25. And man, I was like, I was broke and I was hurting and I couldn't provide for my family. But God, he said, James, you got to be able to trust me even in this season of your life. You know, I grew up as a PK, so I was always kind of sheltered. You know, I didn't have a lot of struggles really growing up. My dad raised me. So, you know, my story is not like a lot of other, you know, men who are like me who have a different testimony. But when I got to this place of being homeless, I realized that, man, like, God, like, are you really real? Are you really with me? Like, do you really you know, have me the way I've been telling everybody else to believe in you and have faith in you, because how could I be serving you? And now here I am, I don't even have money to even provide for my family. And God told me something. He said, James, if you can trust me now, he said, even if I told you what I was going to do, you wouldn't believe it. And that's the night in a motel room. One of those nights he gave me the song, I Trust You, which ended up being, you know, my biggest song and went number one for 7 months in a row, which is still the record on Billboard, and just, you know, changed my life forever. That was a moment. And it was in one of the lowest seasons of my life that God was able to produce something so amazing and so powerful that is still blessing millions and millions of people. Even to this day, it was like, okay, God, I'm sorry for ever doubting you or questioning you, because his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. So many times we have a way that we think things should go or should work out, but ultimately it's trusting God is the way, because he knows the plans that he has for us. He knows the way. We see to the corner, but God sees around the corner. And so that was a moment for me, bro.
Wow, the patience, like you say, just to wait, because it's all in his timing. We want it right now. So I agree with you wholeheartedly. Listen, it's Mental Health Awareness Month, and I know with everything you do, let's be very clear. I mean, you know, pastoring, I mean, you're a producer, artist, you got a family. Like, what do you do for your mental health? Like, what are some things that you do to kind of keep you in a level-headed space?
Yeah, well, therapy is one. You know, I believe you can have Jesus and a therapist. You know, growing up or earlier, you know, in my life, I thought, you know, counseling and therapy was just for crazy people. You know, I didn't know that, you know, I thought, you know, we just pray it away. You know, we just believe God, pray. And it's like, no, James, you know, life has a way. And I'm glad that I've been able to mature to the point to where I love therapy. And it's not just when I'm going through something. I do it for maintenance, because mental health is important. We do, you know, we go to the gym for our physical health. You know, we go to church for our spiritual health. What are we doing to make sure that our mental health, that our emotional health is healthy? And that is also because as a man thinketh, so is he. So if your mind is messed up, your life is messed up. The body affect, the mind affects all other parts of the body, the organs, emotions, everything. So I think taking care of your mental health is so, so important. And another thing the pandemic taught me was that I was able to go through therapy virtually. I was like, wait a minute, I don't have to go to the office. You mean I could find a therapist that's in New York, or I could find, you know, and it was just, it gave me so many more options that I even do virtual therapy now as well. But that's me. I'm one of them ones. I believe in counseling. I believe in therapy. And I believe it's great, not just when you're going through stuff. You're not been through stuff, divorce and all kinds of stuff. But it's also good just for maintenance, just to make sure you're okay.
Do you think the church has gotten better? I know we've had a bad rap of being so judgmental. And this goes into your music. That's why I'm asking this question, because you have done a great job of, you know, not only working with like artists like Monica, but just in general. I know you probably work with a lot of mainstream artists that we don't even know about or even just talk to, because I know they feel like they can probably come to you and talk to you and ask you questions. Do you feel the church has gotten better when you talk about the balance between judgment versus accountability, when you build relationships and disciple and be able to walk with people?
Yeah, I do. I believe it's gotten better. You know, it's you know, it still can grow. But I do think it's gotten a lot better than it was at first. You know, we do have partnerships, you know, even when you look at, you know, me and Monica and how we were, you know, of course, we did a song together, you know, over 10 years ago was our first one. But it was through relationship. You know, me and Monica are friends. And so doing that, I was able to get the message out, you know, to people who may have never listened to James Fortune, but they listened to Monica. And so it was not so much crossing over as it was, you know, taking the cross over. It's allowing, you know, it's called borrowed influence. So Monica has a group of people that, you know, she's in, you know, influences. I have a group that I'm, and we come together as a partnership, and we're able to, you know, do greater works. You know, we're able to do more together. And some people may look at it like, well, you know, she's an R&B artist, but Monica loves God. Like, I know Monica. She's a Christian. I know Monica's mom. You know, I've known her for years. And so that's what's important to me, what she believes and who she believes in, and that we share the same faith. And that's why we were able to produce songs together, because, you know, we know each other on a personal level, not just on a business level.
What's that one thing you would change? I know you've been around church for a long time. Yeah. If you could change something about church culture, what's that one thing you would want to change?
Man, what I would change about church culture.
Mm-hmm. Specifically black church. I'm just being honest.
Yeah, I think it's, man, I think it would just be unity, you know, more unity, you know, realizing that, you know, churches are not gangs. You know, we're all one. You know, we're many members, but one body. You know, it's not this church versus that church, or this church is better than that church. But just imagine what churches could do if we could unify, you know, and come together more than, you know, I was talking to a promoter about a concert, and, you know, he was like, well, I'm not having any of the concerts at churches. I was like, well, you know, why not? He said, because church people don't like to go to concerts at other people's church. The lack of unity, but that, I think that would be one thing I would love to see pastors come together, because if pastors come together, they're going to bring church people together, and it's going to just be better for the kingdom. But that's just one thing that I would change.
No, I agree with you. We actually we have a Real Talk segment that we do, and we talked about how, unfortunately, some pastors compete against each other's choirs, compete against each other. When, like you say, we're on the same team. It shouldn't be a competition, you know. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate you sharing that. Listen, DJ Focus, you tapped into The Fix right here on Holy Culture Radio. We got to go to a quick break. We're coming right back with more from the legendary James Fortune. Keep it locked. You tuned into The Fix. You know The Fix is in.
New videos, music, articles, devos, and more. Stay connected. Get the app now so you don't miss a thing. Visit holyculture.net.
Welcome back. DJ Focus, you tap back into The Fix right here on Sirius XM, channel 154, Holy Culture Radio. I still have the super talented legend himself, James Fortune, on the line, the worship pastor. So let's talk about it. You know, you made so many timeless hits. I want to work up to your latest single, which is amazing. But let's go back a little bit. Take us back through, when did you know? So, like, when did you know, okay, it's different. Everybody came up in church. Everybody sung in the choir, played, you know, the piano, played the keys, drums, whatever. But when did you know, no, I can do this on a professional level. This is more than just everybody coming seeing me Sunday. I can travel with this. When was that moment where you knew you could be an artist?
Yeah. You know, what's crazy is it took me a while because I never intended to be an artist. I was, you know, I started out at my dad's church as a drummer at five. I was 5 years old. I started, you know, when you're a PK, you got to do something at church. So I started as a drummer. And then when I became a teenager, I started directing the choir. And then I kind of started writing, you know, I started getting original songs. God started giving me songs, and we would just sing them at his church. And then we kind of start, you know, getting some momentum, because we would go out. Like, I was just like crazy, like radical, you know, as a teenager. But I'm taking my group, the youth choir for my dad's church. We're going to the malls. We singing on stages. You know, we going to parks, wherever we can, you know, just getting the message of Jesus Christ. We're just on fire for Jesus. And then I had this song called You Survive. So I recorded it. And a friend of mine who was a DJ in Houston, he started playing it for me just on, you know, like, he loved the song, but he was a friend of mine too. And then that's when Carrie Douglas, you know, heard the song. It was like, man, he called the radio station. He thought it was some other artist. And so he gave him my number. Carrie called me, and I was like, I don't really have an album like that yet. I wouldn't really, you know, I'm just at my dad's church, just doing what I do. From there, man, I started working on the album, and I was still never really a believer in myself. It was more so, you know, his belief in me. So I just kind of kept doing it. And then we started going around Texas, and then we started going to, you know, Bobby Jones got, started doing, like, you know, new artist retreats and things like that. And I was just kind of on the road, and he had other artists who were established, like Keith Wonderboy Johnson and Jimmy Hicks and people like that, that I would watch. And just kind of like, wow, like, I'll be blown away. But it really taught me, you know, the road, and taught me how to really minister, and how to, you know, do the whole business side with CDs and pictures. And I didn't know anything about none of that. But that's kind of when I knew, when I started getting out and seeing how the music was touching people, and how the music was really blessing people, and how songs of God was given to me was really changing people's lives. And even when I would, you know, as I started picking up momentum on radio, when I would go to certain markets and they would be singing the song, I'd be like, wow, you know, I'm just, you know, from Houston. I don't know anything about all of this, but it was really exciting for me. It was humbling. But that's how I really was just doing it, as just a witnessing tool, just evangelism, just going out as a youth. And from there, God just, I guess he had plans, because, you know, when I got out of high school, I was like, I ain't trying to do that. I went to California, you know, for radio, television, and film. You know, I was trying to get into acting and stuff like that. And then, you know, but the God's plans always come to pass. So I ended up moving back to Houston after a year and a half. And that's when I started my group, and we started traveling and doing music.
How did your father receive it? You know, you going on the road and wanting to do it professionally. How did he receive it first?
He was great. You know, but by the time I started really going on the road, you know, I was probably, you know, early 20s by then. So he was good. You know, at first, you know, as a teen, he didn't really he was like, you know, he didn't really understand it. He was cool with me doing it at the church. When I was started kind of going a little stuff around Houston and stuff, he's like, man, make sure you focus on your books and all that, you know. But other than that, I mean, he loves, you know, he's a pastor. His father was a pastor. And so ministry was, he was excited to have a son really that was doing ministry. So he was pretty cool, but he just would give me advice and wisdom and stuff like that.
So walk us through your creative process. I mean, you're super talented. You're an artist. You're a producer. When you go into the studio, are you creating a beat first? Do you have to hear the melodic sounds first, the choir singing? Like, walk us through your creative process to even create a song.
Yeah, for me, it's melody or lyrics. And then I always get with a producer. So I may, it can start as a title. You know, I may just hear something like Live Through It, you know, or I may be going through something and God's like, look, you got to live through it. And I'm like, oh, that's a song. So it may kind of start off like as a journal. It usually starts a cappella first. It's never music first because I don't play. You know, I was a drummer, more beats, but I'll get, you know, I got different producers and musicians that I work with. Who, you know, I'll sing it down, sing the song, get them, and you know, they'll send me music. I'll say, that's not really the feel. I'll kind of give them a feel of what I'm hearing. And from there, you know, I go to the vocal part as far as getting the singers involved with it. But the writing, man, it comes in different ways. It comes, you know, rarely do I sit down and just write a song from the beginning. It's usually like I get an idea, you know, it could be in the middle of the night, or it could be, you know, while I'm on a plane, or when I'm just, you know, I could be playing with the kids and that's something, you know, God will send something to me as an idea or a hook, or just hear like a melody in my head. And from there, but I always tell people when they ask about the creative process is that it's not one particular way. You know, sometimes it starts with a chorus or, you know, a title, or I may hear a verse and I may not touch it again for a whole year, you know, or I still got titles in my phone I've never written songs to. So it just kind of, I really like God, when you want me to put something to that, you know, give it to me. Or I've written some stuff and I'm like, nah, it ain't what I'm feeling. Or say I'm writing a song, I could be almost done to the vamp and I don't really feel the vamp the way, you know, I want. And so I'll just leave it alone for a while. And I say, look, I'll just come back to it another album or another year, or it just depends on when I finish it. But the process is usually, it's like, it varies really from song to song, from album to album.
Why was it so important for you to infuse like the R&B, urban and hip hop vibe into your music? Why was that so important for you?
I think it wasn't important. It just kind of was who I am. I mean, I love 90s music. You know, 90s music was big for me, you know, being born in 77. So, you know, the 90s was a great year. So, you know, I was big R&B fan. I loved R&B music. So I think it just kind of comes out, you know, because it's who I am. You know, I love all genres of music. I mean, I love hip hop. You know, I've always been very, I just love music. You know, I love country music. So, you know, for me, it wasn't even intentional. It was just kind of what spilled out of who I am.
No, that makes sense. And I agree. I'm from the 90s era, too, as well. That the best era of hip hop and R&B ever. I know everybody always want to debate me. Don't message me. Don't be DMing me. It is what it is. The best decade of music, period. 90 to 2000 was the best decade of R&B and hip hop ever. Some of the greats. Yeah. So walk us through the first track you did with Monica, you know, with Fred Hammond, Hold On. How did you bring that together?
That was a song I had written, actually recorded already. It was already done. And I had sung for her her wedding with when she got married. So, you know, we'd already talked about it. She had been telling me she wanted to do a song together. So I had sent her a few songs I was working on. And that one was getting ready for the Identity album. She was like, no, this the one, I would love to be a part of this one. So I was like, all right, cool. So, you know, where I had the girl singing that verse, I took that out. She sung that verse. And then when we finished it, she was like, I hear a guy singing on it. She's like, who you got in mind? That could maybe. And I was like, well, I had just did a song with Fred Hammond. So he owed me a favor, too. He was like, James, you know, I had been on his album. He's like, whenever you got a song, let me know. So I was like, well, look, Mike, I got Fred. He wanted to do a song with me. He owes me a favor. So we sent it to Fred. He recorded his part on it. And it was just crazy. But this is the craziest part. Like, none of us were ever in a room together recording. You know, I recorded the singers. Monica recorded in Atlanta. My stepdad actually ended up recording her. You know, a legend, Daryl Simmons, you know, from the Face Records. Just a tremendous lady. He recorded for me, hers. And then Fred Hammond recorded his in Dallas. So we were never, ever even in the same room together. Of course, when we did the music video, we shot that together. But the song itself, man, God kind of, like I said, I thought it was done. I was like, okay, this song's done. Monica heard it. She wanted to get on it. She finished it. She heard, said she heard a guy, got Fred on it. And then the rest is history. We were nominated for a Grammy. And it's the song is still just being a blessing to a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely. It's still running numbers up right now to this day. So this latest one that you just released with Monica, Trust in God. I feel like was there a season in your life that you kind of wanted to express? Because this seems like this was like a personal track. Maybe I'm hearing it wrong, but I definitely want to hear the inspiration behind it.
Yeah, definitely. I think it was like you said, it was everything, the pandemic, you know, man, losing people, you know, losing loved ones, like suddenly, you know, seeing this so many things in life happening and thinking that I had it all figured out until I figured out, you know what, I don't have nothing figured out. I'm just out here trusting God. And so what happened was I wrote that one specifically with Monica in mind, because Monica had been telling me for a while, like, bro, it's time to do another song. So then, like, I put my last album out. She's like, look, if you do one more album without me, we're going to have a problem. So when I was working on this new one, that song was one. I was like, okay, this is the one. I got the message. I'm just out here trusting God. And as I was writing it, I kind of wrote it specifically for me and her to do together. But that was really inspiration. Like, we think we know, bro. Like, it's not like we don't. We really just out here trusting God. The Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. You know, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So to even try to act like I know what's going to happen, or, hey, I know how this is going to work out, I really don't. I'm just out here trusting God, believing everything that he promised me. And I'm just out here holding on. And so that was really the inspiration, not just so much seeing what I was dealing with the pandemic and everything that's been happening post-pandemic, but also with so many people around me were dealing with. I just wanted it to be a message that it not only encouraged me, but other people when they heard it as well.
Listen, and that's how it comes out. So I appreciate you sharing that. Will we ever see maybe a joint venture with you and Monica, maybe doing a full project? Because I feel like you guys sound wonderful together. Y'all have a great connection. And every time you guys put a song out, everybody receives it. And I think we need more of these collaborations when you talk about gospel artists and mainstream artists coming together, because we know a majority, I would argue 90% of the mainstream artists, they still have gospel roots just like us. They come from church. Yeah. They would love to express themselves like this. So is that something maybe you guys would talk about online?
I wouldn't be surprised. I'll say that. But I think for the longest, people have been trying to get Monica to do a gospel record. And she's like, you know, at some point she may do that. I probably could see me more. I would love to do a joint record with, but I could probably see me more like producing, you know, a lot like for her gospel album, or, you know, a gospel project that she may want to do. Now, if, you know, of course, if Monica wants to do one, but if you were to ask me, being someone who's, you know, who knows Monica pretty well, and who's really good friends with Monica, I don't know if we would ever do a whole album together, but I could definitely see me being involved with a gospel project that she puts out at some point, which I do believe she's going to do.
Oh, praise God. That's some good news to hear. We're going to be putting that on the prayer list. Pray for you listening. Yeah. Please put that out, because, you know, even Fantasia, you know, has, you know, teased us with songs here and there. I think she's another one that could do a full gospel album and stuff. We know when Whitney Houston was alive, she did a whole full gospel project. Yes. So, I'm just excited for these mainstream artists to be able to share their faith and be more transparent in a full gospel project. So that's why I asked that question. What's next? What's next, Pastor? What you got next?
Listen, I got something going, man. I'm really, really excited about, this new project. And I can't wait till I can give you the information. I'm going to be announcing on May 12th. Got a new song that's going to be dropping at the end of next month. With another collaboration, man, that I wish I could tell you folks, but I'm gonna let you know. I'm gonna actually let you know before I announce it to the world, but I'm excited about it.
Please, hey, listen, come on back. We ain't gotta act funny. Come on back.
right. So just, you know, finishing up this album, man, and just getting that out, and looking at some touring, you know, man, also we trying to do this James Fortune and Fire homecoming, the reunion done probably later this year or at the beginning of next year. So, you know, other than that, man, serving in my church, I'm still a church boy at heart forever. So serving with Pastor Mike Jr. in Birmingham, Alabama at Rock City Church. Just doing that, man. We just got a new church, new building that we're getting ready to go into in a few weeks. So, man, life has been amazing. Of course, you know, I got a lot of kids, but I got an 8-month-old now. So 8-month-old, 2-year-old, 5-year-old. So life is keeping me pretty busy between family, ministry, and everything that God's allowed me to do. And I'm just so grateful and blessed.
Any books? You working on any books? God gave me a vision on that.
Not any new ones. You know, the book, that was a lot. You know, it just took, I didn't realize, you know, how much work you have to put into, you know, doing a book. You know, I've done music now for 19 years professionally. And it just feel like, woo, like that book thing was new for me. So at any moment, focus, you never know what God's going to tell me to do or what he's going to make me do. So you could be ready for anything. But right now, that's not anything that I have on my horizon.
Okay. Last question, get you out of here. This is always a fun question I ask everybody. So you got to take Fire out of the conversation. You can't use Monica either. If you could pick two artists to form a super group from any genre of music, dead or alive, what two artists you picking?
To form a super group with me or just two artists?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. You still the lead singer, producer, whatever you want to be at. It's your group.
I'm going to go with me past the mic as a Cardi Cortez. I'm going to stick with my boy. That's just me, man. I gotta go with my people, man.
Listen, I'm okay with you going with your people, and I hope we get this one going. Listen, I'm going to go ahead and text Pastor Mike as soon as I get off the line with you. Yeah, Pastor Mike, put this in. Zaccardi going to be with it. All y'all got to do is text.
Yeah,
that would be amazing. Listen, we appreciate you rocking with us this morning. We appreciate your ministry. Keep doing what you're doing, King. It's very much needed. Can you tell the people how they can connect with you, follow you on all your social media platforms, and please introduce your latest single?
Yes, folks, absolutely. Y'all hit me up. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter. It's Mr. James Fortune. That's Mr. James Fortune. And on Facebook, it's the official James Fortune page. Also on TikTok, it's Mr. James Fortune. Hey, what's up, family? It's your boy, James Fortune. Here's my brand new single with my girl, Monica, right here. We all just out here trusting God with my boy, Focus, on The Fix radio show.
Keep it locked. You tuned into The Fix. You know The Fix is in. Welcome back. DJ Focus, Dice Gamble. You tap back into The Fix right here on Sirius XM, Channel 154, Holy Culture Radio. And it's time for a real talk conversation. And today, the Dicer, she was a doctor yesterday. So let me hear it quick. Dr. Dice. She took y'all to church a little bit yesterday. I know it was a little tough with her having those plastic surgery conversations. Wow. But today, she's going to take you into this AI conversation a little bit deeper and talk a little bit more about these robots. So listen, yes, today's conversation, we're talking robots.
Yeah, we have to. One of the things I guess is that has really prompted me to talk about it is all the places that I've worked. And even businesses now, they have more robots coming on the lines and working. And if you're paying attention in society, a lot of people have lost their jobs due to a robot doing their job. So, and people are like, what do you mean robot? And here's the thing, folks. I think we have to dispel this idea that a robot is like a hunk of metal. There's a hunk of metal that's there. You know, it looks like something off the Jetsons. It's like, you know, and here's, we do have those now that are working in places, but a lot of robots are just the algorithms and they're, you know, they're chat robots. You know, the robots that when you have to pay your light bill or your electricity bill or you're online and then the bubble pops up and it's like, hey, do you need help? You know, you know, what's going on? What's your question? Like that, that's considered an actual robot because it's just responding to your prompt and your question. And it's trying to answer you by how it's been programmed to respond to the type of question you asked. And so one of the alarming things that has happened here recently was the godfather of AI left Google and he warned of tech dangers concerning robots. And so, I don't know if anybody has been, you know, kind of keeping up with this, but I just wanted to bring it to light. Like this guy, his last name is Hinton. He worked for Google for decades on robots, helping to develop learning and neural networks that have laid the foundation of artificial intelligence. And that's why he's called the, godfather, you know. Of robots, of AI and all that. But he has seen, and he's 75 years old, focus. So he's not new. He's not like a 20-year-old. This is like a older gentleman who's very, very seasoned. And he just feels like we are irresponsibly letting robots take over our daily life. Does it sound familiar?
It does.
Sounds like every horror movie we have ever watched. Like, so I just kind of wanted to bring some things to light, you know, like, is it good for you or is it not good for you? You know, our interaction with a fake intelligence, you know, I mean, what are your thoughts on that before I, you know, obviously I got rants that I like to go on, but like, have you ever really thought about the power that we give robots in our daily life? Like we just give them the power to do stuff.
I do. So it's funny because I saw this coming with video games. as they started to advance video games. Let's be very clear. If we go back, and I'm okay, we go back to the 80s, and when you talk about the ColecoVision and then the Atari and the different systems, then you go into your Nintendos and your Sega Genesis and whatnot, the graphics have been upgrading every year. The graphics has gotten better. So if they were able to, you know, listen, listen, that's another reason why so many people, you talk about it. I know you get mad at your husband, but you know, another reason why so many people buy big screen TVs is to play video games. Like, gaming is a profession now. Gaming is a sport now because it looks so real. Because it's like you are in it. You bring it up all the time too, as well, with the whole metaverse and wearing the glasses and being in these 3D worlds. So they have been teasing us with this stuff every year, exposing us to it. So it only made sense for them to take over, or well, start to take over, when you talk about all the data that's collected on the web servers and everything. And yes, if they can. You think they got these video games that they're making everything look so real and not trying to recreate those same robots? I know it's not like all robots when you talk about what AI is about, but I do know, listen, they've been playing around with the Will Smith movie. When that movie came out, I told my wife, I said, this ain't, they really trying to mimic this iRobot movie. I'm like, no, I told her. I said, we're going to be strapped up. That's when I started telling her, I'm going to make sure you know how to. I'm just saying, because they mess around and create 200,000 of these robots. And like you say, the circuits that blow and then they want to take us all out. You a lie. Come on. You come to this, though, you're going to get it. So I've been saying this. I'm joking, but I've been saying, like, this only makes sense. It's going to continue to get more advanced. Yeah. It's going to be. And you need to understand it. So that's why I'm glad you're talking about it, Dice.
Yeah. I mean, and here's the thing. I think it started out with it's information. But the challenge is, because we as humans, we've only evolved so fast. We can only evolve so fast. And I'm glad you brought up the biblical perspective of it, you know, just about people trying to, you know, build a way all the way up to heaven and God knocked that down. It's like, it's very relatable to now, because it's like, okay, listen, you guys are trying to become gods and that is not your design. And so what happens is the thing you create, it becomes out of control because you can't understand the power of what it takes to know everything. And that's what we started to do, is we started to create robots who know everything. And the difference is they don't have emotion,
right?
So that's the frustrating part. Like, you can try to create a algorithm for empathy online and things like that, but they don't have human emotion. So that is the scary part right there. You know, one of the things that Jeffrey Hinton had brought up is information in the future looks very different when you only had robots giving you information for years. It's kind of like you and I, like, definitely. I know you have a grandson, you know, I know I will eventually have grandkids, and it's kind of like, what do you mean they're going to be listening to robots? Well, they already do that because they have cell phones way too early. So they're already grooming them, you know, at a very young age, like, okay, believe what I put in front of you. So all the ads, all the stories, you know, that's why it's important to take your sabbaticals from your electronics and go hear from the Lord, so that you're not always consumed by what a chat robot throws in your face. You know what I'm saying? Like, we have like deep fakes now, you know, and you know, we've seen it where people use it in a comedic way, where they'll have some famous person saying something they don't say, but it's their face, you know? Right. And it's like, so there will come a time where it will be hard to distinguish. Is that really the president? Is it not the president? Is that really a Will Smith? Is it not Will Smith? You know? And so we have to learn as humans to see with our gifting, and we can't always be consumed by robots. Like you said, playing video games, like really involved in the internet all day, just swiping left and right, up and down, and scrolling, because we're not paying attention to what's really going on. We have become addicted. And they were just saying, like, yeah, people swipe left and right and it becomes a high. They can't stop doing it. It's like gambling.
That's the truth. I'm gonna be honest with you, Dice. if Alexa ever started talking back on his own, the baseball bat will be going to it. No, you know I'm telling the truth. Like, so we that's another like you talk about the virtual part of the AI. Mm-hmm. We talk about Alexa because we use it, and I know you use it in your house too as well. And I told my wife, I say, you ever wonder what if Alexa just start talking back to us and we ain't even gave it no voice command to just start, hey, how you doing? I see you haven't turned me on today, or you know, like, listen. The Lord knows that thing getting out of my house, Dice. You could have it. I'm a text you, Dice. Say, listen, my Alexa started talking back to me. I beat it with a bat.
Did you see? So you haven't watched Kimmy yet? Because you, I'll be real with you, Focus. So yes, we probably have about 9 Alexas. I'll be honest with you. We have the, you know, the big ones that you can put the speakers into. We have the Echo. We have the dots everywhere, and I need that because we have, you know, we got the little tri-level home. So. I don't have time. I need to listen to everything. I'm just weird like that. Like, I like to have everything streamlined. And if I want to put jazz on through the house, I want her to play everywhere. You know, she's controlling the garage. So everything, full disclaimer, I'm all the way into tech. I'm all the way into robots. So for those of you who are like, oh, Dice must be living off grid. Not right now. One day I do want to live off grid, but not right now. Right now I'm fully into my electronics. She's everywhere. She controlled the dishwasher, Focus. She controlled the oven.
That's fine.
She controlled the refrigerator.
Ours do too as well. But my thing is this.
She controlled the heat.
It better not stop talking back to it.
She controlled the garage. Yeah. No. But I really one day, and then Focus, my husband one day said something. Oh, she don't listen to me. She's stupid. And I was like, shut up. I was like, bro. It was like, and it was just the automatic response, like, she be listening, man. Like, we don't have her on mute. She can hear anything she want to hear. And she control the garage. She control the door. I'm like, she can lock you out of your whole life right now. Your phone, all your deliveries. I was like, there is a lot of power. Like, we use it to our benefit. You know what I mean? But I was just like, man, I never really thought about, she know all my business. Like, I promise you, she know everything. You know what I mean? So I was like, man, we do have to think about it. And there's a movie called Kimmy. And here's, for those of you who like to be terrified, I don't like horror movies. But this was one I made myself watch because it was good. And it's called Kimmy, K-I-M-I. And it's a movie from the director Steven Soderbergh. And it's starring Zoe Kravitz. But it's like this home assistant device. It takes over. That's, I'm just gonna leave it like that. And I'll never forget, after I watched it, I was a little spooked out because I was like, oh man. And then it stayed in the back of my mind because I was like, is this a possibility? And then I saw the Associated Press put out, hey, George Hinton is retiring from Google so that he can travel and talk about the dangers of AI. He is the godfather of AI. Jeffrey Hinton quits his role at Google so he could be free to speak on the technological dangers that he helped create.
Yeah, listen, DJ Focus, Dice Gamble, we got to go to a quick break. Don't touch that dial. We coming back. We talking AI. We talking robots. We talking it all. Keep it locked. You're tuning to The Fix.
And The Fix is in.
Holy Culture Radio is operated by the Core Link Solution, a 501c ministry dedicated to empowering people to reach their potential. If you feel led to contribute to this mission, visit www.holyculture.net/donations.
Welcome back. Welcome back. DJ Focus, Dice Gamble. You tap back into The Fix. And we're in the middle of this real talk conversation today. Talking about these robots. Dice got me talking about robots and AI in them and a little bit of everything. AI in them. You know, because, you know, everybody listening. My Alexa at home, I brought that up. I was dead serious. Like, I told my wife, if Alexa started talking back, she got to go. She can't stay in this house. Hey, you haven't talked to me today.
Well, hey. Listen, I'll be real with you. You're going to need friends. So if you watch every robot movie, you have to have a robot friend. Because there will be, look, I'm over here. It's a conspiracy theory. There will be one robot who has some type of human connection that's greater than the next. It's almost, I'll be real with you, man. Like, it's only two things that's about to happen, Focus. And my husband brought this up last week. He said, are you ready to go buy your land? Because I've been pushing him. I said, you know, we have to go get a farm, you know, next to a nice little lake. You know, like, I want to live, I'm from the country. So I want to live in the country. I want to die in the country. I want to have a city life. You know, I still got a little party girl in me. But when it's time to shut this thing down, I just want to be old like my grandparents, you know, in my peaceful space, or not away, you know, just away from everything. I just want the sky to be black when I go outside. You know, maybe you weren't raised like that, but I was, where, you know, you saw the stars, you know, wasn't nobody around, you know, I want to die like that. So I'm like, I think this AI thing is pushing me to go get the land a little bit faster. Cause I'm like, man, I don't want to live in a world like this. Like, it's too much. It's too much. And I know you want to bring up what you want to bring up, which is insane. So I'm waiting.
No, it is insane. But listen, they've already created a religion for the people who want to worship AI. It's called Way of the Future.
Yep.
So they already have a cult that is looking to worship AI and praise to it and everything that goes into it. It's kind of weird. Mm-hmm. Not sure how you do that, but. No, I'm not really sure, because there's so many different parts of the AI. So who exactly are you worshiping? Like, you're worshiping the overview of everything from technology to virtual to robotics. Like, you. So I don't know. But yes, for anyone who wants to look it up, it is called the religion is called Way of the Future. Mm-hmm. And there are a group of people that I'm not sure how many now, but that worship AI as a form of a god. So this is major, because this is new. I know it's not new, but this is still major. So I can get the people that worship, you know, and this would be still an idol true god. But at least it was like something, like there was actually a animal or you know, like it was something that was represented at some point. This is too large. Like, this too large of a scale to say you worship in AI. AI is everywhere. AI on your cell phone. AI is on your laptop.
That's what I was gonna say. If Jesus came back today and I said, okay, Jesus, this is how we're gonna determine who's a follower of you and who's not. When we hit the city center, or when we walk down the street, everybody who got their face in their phone, they serve the devil. Everybody who don't have their face in their phone, they serve you. How many people going to heaven? Because I'll be honest with you, even when I am on the street, everybody got their face in their cell phone. Period. Like, me and you do this very well. I do this very well over here, me and my husband. We don't even take our phones out at dinner. Like, no. when the kids, when we downstairs, it's a phoneless dinner.
Yes.
Please go put your phone down. Mm. Please go leave your phone on over there. We go on walks, leave your phone. I have my Apple Watch, you know, when I'm out here where, you know, walking through or whatever. Like, sometimes I am intentional. Like, you know what? My locator's on here. It's a camera on here. I can call home on here. I'm not taking my phone because I already know what this is going to turn. I already know. And you have to. We got to start questioning why we're doing what we're doing. It's a distraction. The devil has everybody working for him. If he's the distractor, that we know that. He's the number one distractor. That's all he can do is suggest and distract. And our cell phones, our TVs, our laptops, they suggest and they distract. And so it's like nobody's paying attention. So when you have, like I said, you have the godfather of AI that worked at Google making, we all know, decent money. Ain't got no reason to ever quit. He ain't doing nothing. He not lifting no fingers. Well, he's like, yeah, I got to go tell some people about this. It's a problem. When you got cult believers who believe AI would eventually become the supreme intelligence and take over. Well, we've had enough movies over the past 30 years to people in Hollywood been trying to tell you, like, oh, this is coming down the pipe. It's coming down the pipe. Get ready. Like you said, you strapped up. I think you're going to have to do what you're going to have to do. But the sad part is, if you're not paying attention, and this is why the Bible says, my people perish not for a lack of money, not for a lack of friendship, a lack of knowledge. That's why we're going to perish. So that's why I'm like, man, you guys, and it's frustrating because some people be like, well, you're talking about that. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, why are we talking about that? Go ahead. Your whole city going to be taken over by robots and you're not even going to know. One day you're going to wake up and you'll be like, where are all the people at? Yeah, yeah, because you didn't watch Kimmy and you didn't listen to The Fix. And you just like, what? And let me, before we talk about the rest of this, because we got to get into the Bible part of it. There are, let's see how many robots working right now in the United States. 310,000 plus robots were working in the United States as of 2021. So can we imagine where we are right now? And these are just robots who are working in factories that are operating things at high levels, creating products for us, shipping products for us, having conversations for us. I'm sure that's double by now. I'm sure that's double by now. So for those of you who are working out there and you're like, hey, I'm looking for a job. Oh, man, you know, this particular place was a nice place to work for. But man, they're not hiring, but they're growing. Yeah, they're growing because they just hiring robots.
Wow.
I mean, I'm for real. I mean, the average company, and I'm be honest, because, you know, I'm out here in these streets, like it's easier now. And that's why I was like, man, your skill set, this is why we have to have a community. This is why in our faith, in Christianity, we are to fellowship with our brothers and sisters so that we can know what's going on in the world and we can be aligned because, yeah, employment rates may be dropping in some places, but I'll be honest with you, Fogus, robots don't call in sick. They don't catch COVID. They don't get pregnant. They don't complain. They're not taking breaks 24 hours a day. They're not trying to call out for work on 4th of July. It's real. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I was like, man, we have to be in the know of these things. And when people are like, yeah, we're going to go to a futuristic society, like y'all need to be showing up. Like, no, we're not. Because we have to continue to take care of our people. We can't turn every decision, everything that's made over to a non-human. Like that's not good. Now, here's the deal. Robots are great. You and I both said we had surgery from robots. Robots are amazing. But I'm just talking about like when we give them control over the decisions we can make on our own and probably should make on our own.
No, I agree. I do see, and I'm glad you brought that up because I do appreciate that robotic surgery is available mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. the ones who need it. And mm-hmm. I understand that it's saving people's lives. Mm-hmm. But one thing robots can't do, listen, let's be very clear. We got to tell them everything. So all the information that they're storing, we're giving it to them. So mm-hmm. they don't have the creative mind that we have. Mm-hmm. They don't have the compassion, the soul, to your point, mm-hmm. that we have. So, like, mm-hmm. no, they could never replace
right.
us to that level. So, but I do get what you're talking about when you talk about somebody working in a factory or needing a warehouse and having workers to constantly put out product because of greed. Let's talk about that. That's a real conversation.
Right. But here's the thing. So you just made a very valid statement. The people who have the power to create robots, to create the chat, to create the narrative, and we already know because we just came out of an election that we already know was heavy controlled by robots. Their idea of the care of people is very different than the idea of care for the blue collar worker, the 35-year-old. It's very different. Like their mentality on how they would have a robot behave or communicate is very different. You know what I'm saying? People got a little piece of change. They don't think like people. They ain't got no money. You know what I'm saying? So it's like while you're programming your response system on an application, I'm trying to apply for this. I'm trying to get my bank account squared away. I'm trying to get some help today, paying my bills. It's different. And the only reason why this one for me, that's why I said it's not just about the big bulky robots just flipping hamburgers and stuff like that. Some of it is the chat GPT. So you had Sundar Pichai, he's the CEO of Google's parent company, Alphabet, and he's making a couple of appearances and things like that. He was letting everybody know not too long ago that ChatGPT learned language on its own. That was a red flag for me. So you're telling me in just a few little conversations of people online, and they were speaking in Bangladesh and Bengali, which this was a language the ChatGPT robot didn't know. It picked it up in just a few sentences and then it started talking and translating. So we have no idea what we've done. We've just done it. And now it's like, oh, okay, that's cool. That's cute. No, it's not. Because nobody can call it. They just call it a black box because they're like, what is that called? They're like, we didn't even teach it in the concept of learning a skill set as it's just working. So that's what I'm saying. Like, that's another reason why Jeffrey was like, yeah, I got to leave up out of here, because you know what I'm saying? Like, we done opened up a box of something and we don't know what that is. So that's why I was like, yeah, we, for us moving along into the future, we got to be very cautious of who we're talking to on the other end of a phone, a cell phone, a hardline phone, a computer. Like, people could learn how you talk to me, Focus, and then create a whole algorithm. And I'm sitting here thinking I'm talking to you and I'm not.
Yeah, that's scary.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So my mom could be, you know, God forbid, but she could not be living. And then somebody be like, yep, I, you know what I'm saying? I'm over here acting like I'm Alice, you know what I'm saying? And I'm just, hey, mom, hey, Dice, you know, because it's picked up my vibe. And so that's what I'm saying. We have to be in the know of these things. And when people are creating items and products and companies that we don't need, we gotta be like, yeah, we don't need that. Yeah, we don't need that. Mm-mm, we're good. We have to have human aspects of these things present at all times. And so that's why I was like, you know, I love it. I use robots all day long, but as humans, we have to know everything can't just be given away to something that doesn't have a soul. Mm-mm, we can't do that.
No. We ain't going to do it either. DJ Focus, Dice Gamble. Listen, we got to go to a break. We coming back with closing thoughts, though. Keep it locked. You're tuned into The Fix.
And The Fix is in.
And we back. DJ Focus, Dice Gamble. You tap back into The Fix. And that's our time for the day. When I tell you, I appreciate this conversation you had today, Dice, when you brought up all this stuff about Alexa and them. And, all the people that are trying to take all our intellectual property, because we keep giving them all the information and they trying to take over the world.
Hey, it's just a risk. I mean, we just got to know the risk. Like I said, there are benefits as well. And we just got to know those benefits. So, I mean, I'm even having to be a little extra careful, focused, you know, trying to prepare to get back out there to do a couple new projects and things like that. And so even in using AI to do design, I have to be extra careful to not get sued by a company. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, because you don't know where the AI is pulling images from. So that's why it's like, we're going to have to continue to be creative and use what God gave us, like our own mind, you know, to make sure that we're protected in some ways. So that's why I was like, yeah, it's some stuff is easy and we get these tools and it makes life easy to, you know, search Google, research and do all this. But as we are moving into the future and AI is controlling information, it's important that we know what we know, that we know. That's why I was like, I think off air, I told you, I said, I always wanted a library and I collect books. And one of the comments that I think the Jeffrey guy made, he was just like, you know, it's going to be important that we have regular knowledge, you know, the real knowledge moving into the future, because what we don't want is to have a future where it's just generated by robots and it's just been collecting information from different people, you know, and so it's not the truth. It's like, it's just a put together thing, you know, so it's a put together story. It's a put together, you know, theory. We want to make sure we continue to educate our kids, send them off to universities that teach them hands-on, you know, where they have the information about human bodies and things like that, like the real deal information. And it's not just, we're leaving it up to our future to create an idea of what our surroundings should look like and what our, you know, life should look like. We have to be involved in our life is the point.
We definitely need to be involved. We definitely need to keep up with everything that's going on with AI.
Yeah.
And everything, when you talk about the virtual robots, when you talk about the robots that are working, you know, robotics and everything that goes into it. So, yes, please stay informed.
Yeah.
Don't think this is a joke. This is real.
Yeah, it's real.
And you don't have to be scared. I was teasing y'all. You don't have to be scared. I'm not worried about them doing no type of takeover or nothing to stop it. No, they're not.
Well, I mean, that's why it's like, we will always need a human aspect, which is the cool part, you know, concerning technology, because you have to have a human aspect for it to continue to work. You know, but we just want to make sure that the information we're getting is true. And so that's why it's like, we have to stay in our communities. You talk about knowing your neighbors and things like that. Yeah, we got to be in the community, you know, to know what's good and what's really going on. So, and for those of you who are in tech, you are right where you need to be because you are leaders in the world of technology. And as we move forward into life, it's going into a more technological driven type of society. So congratulations to you for being the brainiacs. People said stop playing video games and they were wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like some things, and this is another stat too. So shout out to the gamers. They were just saying that a lot of gamers who've been able to multitask and who can see and who can move very quickly, they're really good at managing, obviously, robots.
Now,
so,
yeah, they are. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Listen, shouts out to our brother too as well. I pray you guys enjoyed that spiritual detox with the legendary gospel legend, James Fortune. Let's be very clear. Mm. He has a track out right now called Trusting God featuring the legendary Monica. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows Monica, R&B legend. And I love them being transparent in this song. They talk about the peaks and the valleys and going through trials and tribulations and everything throughout their careers, in, you know, amongst their households and with family and friends and business deals. But in spite of it all, no matter what season of life they're in, the song just confesses, I'm trusting God. I'm trusting God to continue to order my steps. I'm trusting God to continue to lead me, guide me, help me in these decisions. So I appreciate James coming on and just talking about not only the culture, but also just the importance of putting your trust in God. Listen, this is why we push you guys each and every morning, asking you guys to grow a better relationship with God. Grow a better relationship with Him every day in your prayer time, your fast time, your meditation time, devotional time. Read, study, because that's what's going to get you through anything that may come your way. Being able to say, you know what, I'm going to trust in God. I don't know why I'm going through this season of my life, but I'm still trusting in God. I don't know why I'm up right now, but I'm still trusting God. So it doesn't matter what you're going through. So, yes, please go stream his new music, new single. He already talked about new project on the way. So we're looking forward to the new project. But his latest single is Trusting God featuring Monica, which is a certified banger. He's a worship pastor. He's been doing it a very long time. Okay. That's it, Dice.
That's it, man. It's good Thirsting for the Lord Thursday.
You know what tomorrow is.
I know. I already know.
Listen, I don't think the people be ready, though. Like,
maybe. It's hard to be ready. I'll be rude with you. You can't get ready. You can't get ready for Fridays around these parts.
And Dice, let me give you your roses. You had me for a couple of weeks in a row. You had me. But I think I done turned it back. I turned it up last week. And I got a couple surprises for you tomorrow. Because I know you go. No. Listen, Dice always pulling something out the hat. She be like, he ain't ready for this.
Yeah, I'm digging all week long. I'm like, ooh, who's out there? Mm-mm. Like, yes. It's all good. It's nice. Every Friday, it's exciting to be on here to hear, new music. So,
yes,
y'all better keep it locked.
Yeah, tap in. The winning prescription is going down tomorrow. Of course, we'll have 10 new bangers. We'll talk about all their ministry-driven bars, originality, production, everything that goes into it. So you definitely want to tap in every Friday because we're heavy music-driven when you talk about new releases and also the music that we will talk about. Listen, go out and be great today, kings and queens. Don't touch that dial. Listen, I keep telling y'all, we have shows all day. Continue to tell your friends, tell your mama and them, tell your cousin them. Holy Culture Radio is on 24/7 right here on Sirius XM channel 154. Our sis Raina Day is coming up at 10 a.m. Yeah. We got our brother What It Be's Like It Too, and we got our other homie Wado at 6 p.m. today. So listen to Holy Culture Radio all day. Tell somebody. Listen, go out and support my sister. She got merch for you. She got coffee mugs for you. She got incense over there. She got tea over there. Listen, she got sunglasses. Whatever you need, go to chhuniversity.com and shop. Please buy some. Support. Make sure you follow us on all social media platforms at The Fix Radio Show. Listen, we got exclusive content getting ready to drop, getting ready to relaunch our YouTube page. So y'all better follow us on Instagram and Facebook to stay up to date, because mm-hmm. when this YouTube page gets to jumping, I'm telling you, we might do a Patreon or something. Y'all might have to be in the members only club to get this exclusive content, because it is exclusive. Listen, we appreciate y'all rocking with us. Go out and be great today, kings and queens. Until tomorrow, remember to stay focused on turning your negative into a positive. Yeah. Jesus Christ is always your answer. Kingdom advancement should always be the goal. The fix is in. We out.
Peace, y'all.
What did he say? I missed that. Did you hear something you need to hear in full? Not a problem. Get the podcast and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a thing. Holyculture.net/podcast.